We're talking today with Scott DeWald of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Scott, let's talk a little bit about a couple of things. We've got a cattle industry convention coming up this coming week in Denver, and a lot of things that the cattle industry needs to be wrestling with right now. We've got, obviously, historically high cattle prices, so that'll make Denver kind of fun in some ways. Worried about drought in some parts of the country, including right around here. But at the end of the day, there's some big, big ticket items that we need to be talking about. GPSA, where we're going down the road as far as EPA regulations and some of this. What are some things that you're going to be paying attention to as you go through the process of the Denver meetings?
I tell you what, the Denver meeting is a great meeting because thousands of producers and agencies and companies all gather at one time to talk about mutual interest in terms of cattle industry issues. Three of the issues that I'm really going to be focused on, one is Eastern livestock and where do we stand on paying producers for the cattle that they've sold and they've received hot checks back from Eastern livestock. That one's critical. Two, you mentioned GPSA. I want a reconciliation from USDA, and there will be USDA officials there. Why could we let Eastern issue $120 million worth of hot checks, which should not have happened, and at the same time spend all our time focusing on a set of proposed rules that they couldn't enforce? In other words, if they can't enforce the first part of the rule, which is to keep producers whole, why are they out here playing with the other stuff? And I really would like to put them, call them on the carpet and get some reconciliation for how they could let a $120 million mistake take place.
As far as past that particular issue, what you said, a couple of three issues.
Well, I think international trade is always something we're going to be discussing. I think as you see increased regionalization of foot and mouth disease issues that we're having over in the Asian countries, that's obviously going to be something that's going to be top of mind in the cattle health and well-being committees. We're extremely fortunate. L.D. Barker serves on that committee, as does Bob Smith from Oklahoma State, retired. So we've got those issues going on. International trade issues are going to have to be discussed. And I think the other big issue is on the tax front. It was a victory to get a two-year extension to the Bush tax cuts, but 2 years is going to pass extremely quick. 10 years passed. Remember, the old tax deal was a 10-year deal, and we knew it was a 10-year deal, and we thought, surely there's time to fix it. We barely got it fixed. As you'll recall, you were reporting up to the minute as Congress was getting ready to go home as to whether or not we were going to get that issue resolved. Thank goodness it did get resolved. Now we only have 2 years. We're going to have to put our heads together and come up with a strategy to make sure we're not running this stuff last minute.
Now, when it comes to some of the regulatory issues, I know we've talked a great deal about that. There's a lot of concern within the cattle industry about everything from dust regulations to endangered species and everything in between. It does sound like that with the Republicans at least holding the House now, we're going to get a little more accountability.
I think we are going to get a little more accountability, but I don't think, and I don't mean any discredit to the Congress, I don't think that fixes all of our problems. I think we have to be as alert and as in tune and as engaged today as we were prior to the change in Congress, because there are a whole set of people sitting in Washington writing rules and regs, and there's no way possible, even with all the talent that Frank Lucas has, that he can keep an eye on every one of those agencies. So if it's the Pesticide General Permit, which has been redrafted, if it's the Clean Water Restoration Act, all these kind of things, we have to be willing to provide the information to Congress so that they can shoot the salvos that they need to. Yes, I think they've put the brakes on some things, but there are ongoing rulemaking processes right now that we have got to be engaged in, and so I think that's critically important. A different flavor coming out of Washington, and we very much welcome that. We very much welcome Frank Lucas being chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. We very much welcome him having a host of oversight hearings with these agencies to see just how far overreaching they've been and to put them back in line with what the intent of the law was. We think that's critically important.
Do you think there's going to be much talk about animal ID at Denver this coming week?
I think animal traceability, which is what we're calling it now, it's kind of in a lull. The bookend approach, and each one of the states having to do their own program, or being given the right to do their own program, I suppose is the way to say it. I think we'll be comparing notes. What are you doing in Wisconsin? What's happening in Nebraska? What's happening in California? How are you guys approaching this in your respective states? But I don't see there being any overarching kind of policy decisions made I think that horse is out of the pen, if you will, and so for that reason, we just have to continue. Now, I will say that in terms of the governmental agencies that will be there, GIPS and USDA, APHIS, and all those folks, we will be having discussions primarily surrounding how are you going to fund these state programs, how are you going to make these work at the local level. It's one thing to say we're going to boot these down to the local level and make them work down there, but if they don't share the resources and do everything else, it's really dead in the water.
Checkoff and NCBA working with the checkoff entities, obviously the federation within the NCBA umbrella, Cattlemen's Beef Board, kind of butting of heads back in July of this last year. I know that we still have been trying to put everything back together since that particular meeting. What do you anticipate this coming week?
Who knows, really? I'm going to go prepared for the worst in terms of people trying to come in and to destroy the checkoff or destroy the Federation of State Beef Councils or to destroy the relationships between the three organizations that make the most use out of the money possible. Our goal, quite frankly, is to make sure that every dollar is spent in the best way possible to increase beef demand. That's very simple. And anything that deters from that or detracts from that is something that we're going to have to be very careful about. Will there be some political infighting? I think we'd be naive to say we're going to go up there and everybody's going to be getting along all of a sudden. I do think there are those outside groups that still would like to have control of the money, would still like to have control of some things. Unfortunately, what I've not seen from them is here's what we're going to do. If we were able to make these changes, here's how we're going to improve beef demand. That's not been the center of discussion. The center of discussion has been the politics and who has the biggest horse. And that's not fair to the producer that's paid the dollar. The people that have control over those dollars need to be spending those dollars to help the producer and make the producer profitable. So we're going to be watching that extremely close.
And you've got some Oklahomans that want to get a little more involved in the process between the Federation and the CBB.
Absolutely. Richard Gephardt from Claremore is running, and these are all contested elections. These are not just you're in if you're in. They are campaigns, if you will. So Richard is running for the vice chairmanship of the Federation, and he will be good for us as a cow-calf producer up in that part of the country to bring some semblance of order back. Brian Healy, who's been involved with Cattlemen's Beef Board for a number of years. Healy's are, of course, no stranger to NCBA either. He is running for the operating committee. That's the committee that determines where the dollars are going to go. A producer from Sulphur is going to hopefully have a say in that. And then Andrea Hutchison from Chainland and Cattle Company is running for the executive committee of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, as well as the operating committee. So there's at least three people that have said, you know what, I think this is important enough. I'm going to commit my time to it, to travel to it and everything else to make sure that these dollars are being spent in accordance with the best wishes of the producers and the producer in mind. So we're extremely excited about that.
Let's talk about state issues, if we might, for a moment, Scott. State legislative session, we're just on the cusp of getting it started, getting it cranked up. A lot of bills are out there. I know you've been reading bills furiously, fast and furious, trying to decide, you know, what matters, what, you know, can be, you know, looked at maybe a little less priority. What do you see right now that you're going to be watching carefully? What are you hoping to see advance, I guess?
Okay. There are roughly 40 bills in the agricultural title, and two or three of those that are top of mind to us. One is a new initiative that we're pushing along with several other farm organizations dealing with livestock liens and a livestock owner's opportunity to have a security interest in livestock even after the livestock have left the operation. That is in response to what's happened with the Eastern livestock debacle and people not getting paid for the cattle or pigs or whatever they've sold. In the Eastern, of course, it's all a cattle deal. But we believe that we should have an opportunity for the producer to have a security interest in those cattle until the funds clear and are in their account. So that's one of those kind of no-brainer bills. We talked about it at Monday at our ag meeting. Everyone seemed to be very supportive of that. We're trying to make sure that we work with the banks to make sure that we don't make it harder to borrow money in the country. So there's, you know, public policy is a two-edged sword. We want to make sure that this helps and doesn't hurt. So that's one of those bills. Tax bills, there are about 500 different tax measures out there. And that's not real uncommon. But there's everything from let's eliminate the personal income tax in Oklahoma. There's some looks at the property tax. There's look at sales tax. There's all kinds of different funding things. And that's not uncommon in a year when you have a $600 million budget deficit, roughly. I've heard 400. I've heard 600. You pick a number. But it's going to be a significant budget deficit. Mm-hmm. We've got some that would like to cut taxes. Our concern is, if they cut things like the personal income tax, if they cut those kinds of things or sales tax, who's going to pick up the difference? And we don't want it to be the landowners through the property tax. So that's where we have to make sure that this is fair and judicious. The other thing I'm worried about, although we've already received the assurances of the governor's office, we asked both candidates after the primary if they would veto a bill dealing with doing away with a sales tax exemption on ag products, things that we buy for our operations. They both vowed, yes, they would veto that bill. Our job now is to make sure the bill never gets to their desk. It can never pass through two hurdles and then get to the desk. I trust fully that Mary Fallon will do exactly what she said. But I also know there's opportunities for override. I also know that once these things get legs, it's awful hard to stop them. So we've got to take care of those kind of things early on in the session.
Right. You mentioned Governor Fallon, two of her choices you've got to feel very good about between Jim Reese at Ag and Gary Scheer at Department of Environmental Quality.
Yeah, absolutely. Gary Scheer, Secretary of Environment, will have purview over the Department of Environmental Quality, the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, the Oklahoma Wildlife Conservation Commission, and then a host of other agencies and such underneath that. So we're excited to have Gary back in public service. It's really great if you look at, and of course Secretary Reese, we've known Jim for years, and I think he'll do a phenomenal job in that post. Oklahoma State University, the land-grant university, this is the interesting thing, to have two appointees to the governor's cabinet who are serving in a part-time capacity, maintaining their jobs on campus, is really, I think, bodes very, very well for Oklahoma State University and for the land-grant system. I think it's something that Mary Fallon has certainly, in my mind, said, you know, we're going to listen to what the needs are of Oklahoma. And she has had a sound set of appointments, been a very smooth transition. You know, I've seen some transitions over the years that have been rough and tumble. I think that's to credit the transition team. As we move forward, here we are getting ready to go into legislative session. She's pretty much got her ship built. She's pretty much got the thing headed in the right direction in our mind, of course. And the transition's pretty much finished and I think took place very smoothly.
Our conversation with Scott DeWald, Executive Director of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, Ron Hayes on the OklahomaFarmReport.com.